Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Let's Watch podcast. I'm your host, James, with my lovely co-host, Carolyn.
Yep, and I'm still sick, so enjoy the voice.
Sound better than last time, but it's Carolyn needs to apologize.
What did I do?
You picked this movie.
Oh, God, yes. I'm so sorry to the listeners. Disclaimer, don't watch it. But if you want to know why, continue listening.
Disclaimer, don't even read about it. It's fucked up. The movie we watched was Tideland, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
A movie directed by Terry Gilliam that Carolyn is going to have a synopsis that probably doesn't describe what's wrong with this movie.
Yep. Because of the actions of her irresponsible parents, a young girl is left alone on a decrepit country estate and survives inside her fantastic imagination. And so it stars Jeff Bridges until he dies. Spoiler.
30 minutes into the film.
Yep. Jennifer Tilly. As who? Janet McTeer. A lot of people I don't know, basically.
Jennifer Tilly is Dell, isn't it?
No, Janet McTeer is Dell. Jennifer Tilly is Queen Gunhilda.
What?
Who's apparently a different person. I don't know. And then Jaliza Rose, who is the little girl, is played by Jodell Furland.
And the lead of the movie.
Yes.
So, have you seen any Terry Gilliam films before?
Let me look at the list.
Well, he's a Monty Python guy, right? So he did like Life of Brian and...
Yeah, well, I've seen all the Monty Pythons.
Yes. And yeah. Like that's where he started. Obviously, he came from that troupe of comedians.
He should stick to that.
He's very old. He's 81 currently. So he was old when he made this movie.
Yeah.
I'm also going to his IMDb. He hasn't actually directed that much. He did the Brothers Grimm the same year as this one, which we have seen. We watched that together. Or watched that and talked about it on here.
That was a terrible movie.
Yes, and 12 Monkeys and Fear and Loathing and The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. Brazil.
Right.
So a lot of his movies, like he's a respected director because Brazil is, I've never seen it, but it is critically acclaimed. Same with The Fisher King and 12 Monkeys and Fear and Loathing is a big cult movie. And The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus is as well, partly because that was like Heath Ledger's last movie that he passed away during the filming of. So
it seems like he's a bit more of a writer. He has a few more writing credits than directing credits.
Yeah. And he's an old boomer and he's been saying some dumb shit currently, but that, you know, doesn't matter for this film until it does. So I had no idea what this movie was going in. I saw that it starred Jeff Bridges and then before I watched it, I found out that it was about addiction, and I was like, oh, lovely. I'm sure this is going to be a barrel of laughs.
I mean, it's sort of about addiction, and then it's not.
Well, it's definitely shot like a fantasy kids movie, which is weird when the tone initially. Also, like the initial opening of this girl living with two heavy drug addicts, one played by Jeff Bridges and another one played by someone else who is her mother, who is quite bad, like a terrible performance. and really just not good in any way. It's not like a well-written character or anything. And then,
well, she dies pretty quickly.
And then like, it's like all like, kind of like, I was like, where are we going with this? Cause like, this is kind of like, and Jeff Bridges is doing like the like over-exaggerated addict stuff. And it very much feels like those two like exist in a world where other people don't exist.
Well, Jeff Bridges, have you ever seen him do one of his Academy Awards speeches? Because part of what he was doing in this looked quite similar in that, like, he as a person just kind of talks on and on and on. And what he's saying, you're kind of like, this doesn't make any sense to anyone but you. That is actually just Jeff Bridges. It's weird.
Yeah, like, Jeff Bridges is a great actor, and he is certainly the better actor between the two parents, like, noticeably. Like, even though the dialogue kind of stinks and... It's kind of silly, like, he's good enough to, like, sell it in a way. I just thought, like, his physical performance was over the top. And he is like that. Like, he rambles anyway, like, his Oscar speeches. And you're just like, okay, this man just smoked a bunch of weed.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm always like, is he drunk? And then it's like, no, he's actually kind of always like that.
Yeah. And, like, he's been incredible in movies that I've seen. Like, he's a very, very talented actor. I just don't think there's a lot here for him.
Yeah.
But like the whole like when the mom dies and then he panics, right? Because he's like, well, they're going to take my daughter away and I'm probably going to get fucked for this, which I think is the rightful thinking on his point of view. But then like the decision To even like, and then the decision to flee, I was like, okay, that makes logical sense for this character to do that. Like, hopefully this isn't a movie where it's just like he is progressively getting worse and worse to his. So I think she's 10.
The girl.
Yes.
Yeah, I think she is. I mean, to your point of that, it kind of is all filmed in kind of like a children's fantasy fairy tale kind of world. It is, which is disturbing. But there's a few lines at the beginning, and I actually thought, like, this is one of those films that when I was taking notes, I was like, oh man, I really don't like it. So I needed to write down literally, what did I like? Because I feel like I'm interested in what you liked. I want to know what was okay about the film. But one thing that I thought was interesting was at the beginning, she's like, there's all these weird angles and everything like that. And she's saying some lines, and they're all about like dreams and slumber and mystery and stuff like that. And she kind of makes a reference to Alice in Wonderland, which is like,
she has the book too.
Yeah. It's like, yes, that's a children's story, but also the original is like just pretty messed up. And like, it's all about like drugs and stuff like that. So like,
yeah,
less about Alice in Wonderland. And then she makes a reference to Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah.
And about like sleep and stuff. And the thing is, there's all sorts of potions and stuff in that one, and like weird love potions and sleeping potions, and yeah, lots of mysteries and stuff out of that. So with those lines, I was kind of like, okay, we're in more of like a horror fantasy kind of world, like a really twisted kind of world, as opposed to like a glossy children's world. Though she seems to think she's in a glossy children's world.
Yes. Which I think is like an effect, like could be an effective way to tell a story, right? Is that like, but my I haven't seen Alice in Wonderland or never read the book, but my understanding of that Alice was like a young, like a teen, right? Like, or like almost an adult.
Depends on the version that you're looking at it. I think in the original, she's pretty young.
But the Disney movie.
Yeah, but
is it a Disney movie or the animated movie? I thought Alice was a little older.
The character is widely assumed to be 7.
Oh, okay. So very similar to this character's ages, somewhere between the ages of like 7 and 10. I don't know. I think they say she's 10 in this movie, but like, who actually knows? We'll get to the part that's extremely upsetting when we get there. But like, I was like, oh, when I saw the Alice in Wonderland book, yeah, and like how Jeff Bridges was talking about like mythology, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I was like, ooh, okay, are we doing this? And it's like, she's got the daughter's gonna like go into a world where it's like in her head, and I was like, this is all fake, but this is how she's dealing with her life.
Yeah.
Because everything around it is like terrible. Like, her dad's terrible, so she's got these doll heads that she's making voices for to, like, retreat from the world. And I was like, oh, okay, like, this could be a thing. And then when they go to the empty house, I was like, oh, is this going to be, like, Jeff Bridges gets sober, and then it's going to be, like, a heartwarming story about how, like, he realizes he sucks and tries to become, like, a better father to his daughter. And, like, their lives get better, right? And this movie is not that. It is very much about, I guess, this version of Alice in Wonderland.
It's weird though, because it had potential. Because when her dad, first got drugged up, and and later on she comes in and he's like still drugged up or dead, but we don't know he's dead at that point. She's like, still on vacation, daddy, and it like breaks your heart because that's the way that she understands this,
And it's very effective. Like that's very like those scenes are very effective because it's extremely upsetting.
Well, and at one point I wrote like, does she know her dad is dead? Because at a point I don't think she does, and then eventually she does, but she doesn't really react to that in any particular way.
I don't think she's like emotionally capable of handling it,
which is like creepy as hell.
And like, I was kind like, I did not like the first 20 minutes of this movie, but when they get to that house and I was like, okay, this is a little better. And then when he dies, I was like, oh, I honestly did not expect that. Are we about to be like, where this movie can go anywhere? Because I, in my mind, I still thought it was just going to be the daughter and Jeff Bridges. And I was like, oh, is he going to be like, is this just going to be like her as a, like her fantasy land or something, essentially? And they can do anything they want.
That's what was weird. It changed. It changed a lot. Because the beginning is like, okay, like girl just out in the world, whatever. And it could still be like rooted in reality. But then her like doll head starts speaking and you're like, oh, okay, so we're going to get kind of weird. But then it was like,
and then she disassociate.
Yeah, there are points where it was weird, points where it wasn't. And then, I mean, we'll talk about all of this in a bit. But when she starts to meet Dickens and stuff, it kind of gives up on the whole weird fantasy land thing and goes back into the reality of her and this guy who kind of has like a child's mind and how they see the world. But like, it kind of gave up on the whole fantasy part And it was more them talking about the fantasies they'd created for themselves. But like the movie changed completely. So it changed several times. And it's kind of weird. Like at the beginning, you're right. I did not like the first 20 minutes either. I was not sold on this movie whatsoever. But it like only got worse jokes, for me. Yeah.
Which
yeah,
I just think did not match the tone, what they were going for.
Like the thing is, what I wrote down for like what I liked is at the beginning, I wrote this at the beginning, was like kind of the whimsy and the weirdness and how it the way it was filmed and what was happening kind of captured the imagination and fantasy of a child and how it kind of paralleled that, the fantasies of a child, to like drug trips and delusions of addicts. Like, because what she was saying, and you're like, well, that's absurd, was just as absurd as what her dad was saying before he died.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, that's interesting. And that was the only interesting thing about it. And it went just completely downhill from there.
No, I agree with that. I was like, ooh, is that what we're doing? It's like, that's like, I was like, ooh, because that's interesting, right? And it was like,
yeah. And I knew I might not like it, but at least if it came out being like, oh, okay, I can see what they were going for, just not to my taste, then that would be one thing. But by the end of it, I don't know what they were going for.
Me neither. And I think this is a good way for us to get in to the representation of the issues in this film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the representation of addiction is very well done, and it fucked up in many different ways. I understand this movie came out in the early 2000s when addiction was obviously still a problem, a huge problem, but it was not where we are now.
And people didn't have compassion for it as much at the time.
Yeah, it was like, it's their fault, right? And it's very much like, we have changed as a society as we've learned more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like willing to give the movie like a little bit of a pass because it's really only like the first 30 minutes of the movie with that. And then they kind of just entirely forget about it. And it doesn't matter.
Then it got worse.
Which is weird.
Like, this movie's not about addiction.
No, it isn't. But like when you combine that with the representation of Dickens, who is a young man who had a surgery to fix his epilepsy and is suffering from severe mental disabilities. And when you first meet his character and he has this like budding friendship with the lead and they're just like kind of being friends and like that stuff's fine. He's obviously hurting in a way as well that he's incapable of showing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like his retreat to like his little fort that he built that he called
him as a character was interesting. And them as friends was interesting because like she doesn't see that there's anything different about him.
She's and just they on can, someone like, that's like her.
Yeah, and they can bond on like a very natural level. And I liked that.
And how they call the train like, the monster shark. And like that's all
Jesus,
good. That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, or that's at least like passable. But then they make the decision. Later in like the last 30 minutes of the movie.
I hated it.
After like his mother, Del, mother, sister. I can't remember.
Sister Del. Mother was mummified, remember?
Yes. Del, who is also somebody represented with a mental illness. But is very much more like the antagonist of this film, essentially.
I found it all very confusing, to be honest, all the Del
and
stuff.
And is abusive towards Dickens.
But
they make the decision in the last 30 minutes of this film to make Dickens and I cannot remember the character's name to save the life of me.
July's a rose
to make it romantic.
Sort of. And,
well, to have them kiss on screen.
Yeah.
A grown man kissing a small child on screen.
Yeah.
Even though they play it as that she is like willing and it's like two kids kissing is what they want you to make you feel like, it is still.
It's not.
A
yeah.
Grown man. And a young girl kissing on screen. And the movie's like, isn't this cute and romantic? And then they also play it a little bit as like she's manipulating him.
Yeah, because she dresses all up like a hoochie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it very much seems like she's taking advantage of him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and especially since like I don't think they were trying to make it cute because the first time that they talk about silly kissers.
Silly kissers.
Dickens talks about how July's a Rose's grandma would make out with him all day.
Yes, he's talking about how, like, Giles when he was like a little was boy. Abusive,
yeah.
Like was assaulting Dickens.
And he was like, he didn't know, right? And like, it's so I hated that. I hated that so much because they'd never address it. Like, it did feel very exploitive because they didn't put a problem out there and then do something about it or even tell you it was wrong. Like, they just put it there and then you're expected to just do something with it yourself, you know?
Yeah, it's like super fucked up. Like, I don't, like, I, to be fully honest, like, once that happened in the movie, I kind of put the movie onto my second screen and was like, I'm going to do other shit while this is playing on. Cause, like, I'm fucking done with this film. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck this. Like, I was just like, this is such, I couldn't, the first time, like, when they, like, the first kiss that happened, I was like, all right, okay, move,
well,
okay.
When it first happened, I was like, oh, God, this is so uncomfortable. But then literally the last half an hour of the movie was about that.
Yes. And to be fully frank, like, I was listening to it and looking over, but I was not actively engaged with watching the movie because if this was a movie that I feel like I didn't have to finish, if this happened, I would have been like, I'm done. I don't need to watch the rest of this film. Fuck this.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, this also, is exploitative and there's so many issues surrounded this with this.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a point where, like, there are points where I was like, oh, this is gross. And then I was like, oh, yeah, but I'm probably misinterpreting it. Nope, nope, I'm not misinterpreting it. You know what I mean? Like, at points, it looks like she's like seducing him. And I'm like, she's 10. And someone told her to do that.
Exactly. Child actors, if they give a good performance, are mostly on the director because they are told exactly what to do.
Yeah.
So that means this young girl was
And she
told,
was very good.
Yeah. I mean, her performance was great in this film. I don't blame her for anything in this movie.
No.
Also, the fact that this had to be cleared with like multiple levels of people. And being like, yes, this is a good decision that we're going to let this movie get made where this happens and that these actors have to do this. And then combine that with the fact that, like, if they wanted to do the thing where Jalala Rose was manipulating Dickens, you can do that. You don't need to make it sexual to do that.
Yeah.
At all. In any way.
Well, and like the first scene where they're talking about silly kisses, whatever, it made me uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable. But if that was being used just as a way to have it revealed that Dickens was being sexually assaulted and didn't know it, then that would be different.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't have enjoyed it, but that would have been different. But like it kind of threw that all out the window when it continued along that path, you know?
Exactly. And like yeah.
I don't know. That's the thing. Is it, yeah, it really took a turn. And it before it was all whimsical and it was about the resilience of children. Again, none of it to my taste. But at that point, I was like, I don't know what this movie's trying to prove. I think this movie's trying to be edgy and artsy, you know?
Yeah, or like a dark fantasy, like a dark children's fantasy. And I was just like, obviously the director, you know, made The Brothers Grimm that came out the same year. So I was interested in that in some way. But I just don't, I can't go with the movie when they went made that decision. And then combine that with the fact that Dickens is somebody who is has severe, like, mental illness. And they never tell you exactly what it is. But it is somebody who has, been abused his whole life by multiple different people and being taken advantage of all of the time because he is a vulnerable person. And then they decide to do this with the main character to continue that trend. Even though she is a child, is so fucked up on so many different levels. And there is like no, like nothing, like there's like it, the end of this movie, like it doesn't get better for Dickens, right? Like he is basically used as a ploy to get Jalila from point, like from to help Jalila's journey and then literally discarded on the ground.
Yep. I mean, Del at least seemed concerned for him.
I mean, not at the end, right? Del seemed more concerned with the mummified body.
And Dickens. But I mean, when the train crashes at the very end.
And when the train crashes, But like, also, it's like Dickens is just, I guess, stuck in that situation. And we're not like, I thought, like Dickens, this is weird. It's like Dickens in my mind, or my understanding of the movie is he is not somebody who is actively harming Jalila, like he is also a victim, and the movie's end result is that Dickens is left behind and Jalila gets to go, gets saved,
even though she's like kind of a freak, like, you know what exactly. I mean? Like, it's nice that that lady wants to help her, but only it's only because she's a child. If that lady came across Dickens and he was being as weird as Jalila Rose was being, she'd be like, oh, what the heck? You know?
Yeah. And it's like, so you're saying it's like okay for people like who are living with disabilities to be left behind? Like, what is that? What are we supposed to take from that?
Or yeah, are you commenting on that? She thought she was saving the girl, you know?
Exactly. It's like, are you commenting on that? But then you just end the film like right after that. So like, that's kind of fucked up.
Well, and it also seemed like the girl didn't want saving necessarily. You know what I mean?
No, it was like super, I was like really confused with the tone.
She was detached the whole movie. I found this movie actually incredibly confusing.
It's not well made.
No, it was super confusing. I was looking at some reviews to try to figure out what people liked about it, because some people did like it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because all the good reviews include words like doctrine and dogma and complementary psychosis and shit. I know. I don't think anyone actually liked this movie. I think they wanted to like this movie.
Is it just a bunch of people like self-reporting on themselves?
100%. There's this one review that I kind of liked. It's 3 stars, 3 of 5. It says, listen, the movie for the macabre crowd is something else. A rabbit hole that never ends, and very little light. It is well shot, the acting is above par, the story is terrible in the most well-written way. However, this is for such a niche audience, hence the rating. I'm not discounting the immense disturbed feelings I got, the hope, the bewilderment into a child of untoward circumstance, but I will say that this is not for the vast audiences. Some may be so disturbed and honestly traumatized by this film. Trigger warning, pedo, drug abuse, child abuse, abandonment, and more. If you have any triggers that may get you, please don't watch. Otherwise, grab a bottle of wine or beer. You will need it to feel okay at the end. And I was like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie would be helped a lot with a trigger warning at the top. Uh-huh.
Or if it just didn't get made.
Yeah. And I mean, this movie should never have gotten made. Mm-hmm. I agree. It's frankly terrible. I do agree that the movie is like well shot and like the production mm-hmm. is interesting and well done. Mm-hmm. The visual effects are, the green screens are bad. Mm-hmm. But like they built all this stuff and like that's really well done. But other than that, there's not much. And I do think most of the performances for what they were given are good.
Yeah.
And I don't blame the actors.
No. Like the reason I wanted to watch this is because the ratings are not good, obviously. On IMDb, it's a 6.3, which is actually not as bad as I would think. But on Rotten Tomatoes, it's 30%. But Letterboxd is 3.1 out of 5. So we're getting slightly above average. We're getting 30%, which is bad. Google users, we have 72% who like it. So the ratings are all over the place. And a lot of people like us are like, what the hell is this? But then there's a lot of people who rated it 5 stars who are like, this is an incredible, beautiful masterpiece of art, blah, blah, blah. And this is the kind of movie that like that we want to watch for this podcast to be like, are you wrong?
Like, you're wrong. It just is. This is going to sound mean, mm-hmm. but I legitimately had no idea this movie existed when you gave me the name. Like I'd never even heard of it. Mm-hmm. And you were only aware of it because somebody had told you. Mm-hmm. This is a movie that is better off forgotten.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist. Like there is I can't willingly tell anybody to be like, you should watch this film. Like, why the fuck would I do that? Mm-hmm. I would just be like, yeah, if you want to watch something fucked up and that's going to make you upset and you won't like it. And it's not even like good in any way. Like I can't even point mm-hmm. to something and be like, it's worth watching because of blank reason. Like none of this in here makes it worth watching. That's my thought when I was watching this film was like, if I never knew this movie existed, this is a movie that deserves to be like forgotten and get lost in the mass amount of movies that are released and like nobody talks about it. It's just unfortunate that because Terry Gilliam is Terry Gilliam that mm-hmm. people are going to watch this movie more because they're like, ooh, it's Terry Gilliam, I should watch his movies. He's only made like 10 of them. And with the ratings and stuff, that just feels like people who do like this film are rating it highly, yeah. right? Because I'd be interested to see, like, I don't think any of those websites, other than Letterboxd, show me how many people have rated it.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see how many people have rated it. But yeah. If like, I don't know, I don't try to be like, if people like this movie, like whatever, it's your opinion, I don't care.
Well, IMDb is 33,000.
That's not a huge, I mean, also, it's not a huge number, but it's still a lot of people. It's just, I don't, like, most of the time, I don't know about you, but when I watch a movie I don't like, I can at least understand in some way why people might like it. Mostly it's like, it's just not for me, but like, I understand, like, you and I hate musicals, but we understand why people love musicals. Like, it's just not for us. Or it's like, I watch a movie and I'm just like, that's fine. Other people, it's like, that movie's so good. I'm like, cool. Like, I understand why you do, but not for me. People said that with this movie, I'd be like, are you crazy? I was like, I would just be like, how do you get past that, those things that we've listed that have happened? Like, how can you, like, I cannot rationalize in my brain how that could be perceived positively in any way.
Yeah, and like, honestly, even if it wasn't exploitative, even if it wasn't uncomfortable as hell, it did things that were like purely for shock value. Like,
did not need to be in the movie.
No, and it was like, it's one of those films that is so pretentious that if someone says they like it, you're like, you don't, though. You're lying. You don't. You're just saying that so that you sound cool and artsy. Because like, I was watching the movie and Anastasia came in and she was like, have you met the dolls yet? And I was like, yes. And she was like, are they inside yet? And I was like, inside? Inside what? What does that mean? And she was like, well, you would know if you had seen it.
Yeah, you would know.
But like, why? Why do they have to be sewn up into dead Jeff Bridges? Like, why?
I like that part. I was like, okay, I thought that was like a reference to like Jalila's like letting go of all of her past. Like, it was like the cause of the reason why she did the doll stuff was because of the trauma her father was inflicting upon her.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that her like bought like getting rid of that trauma?
Essentially? But she got
like,
over it real quick. And
she
not
did. It was like,
enough.
you know, because what if you have parental trauma, like you only have to do one thing and then you're fine. Because that's how that works at that age for sure. I didn't get it either, but I was like, that's just for a little like weird thing. Okay, if that was the only thing in this movie in the last 30 minutes that was like that, I'd be like, all right, I can whatever, I don't, it's a decision, okay. Yeah. I'm fine. But with combining with the rest, and then the fact like with Nell, they have the scene where Nell is having sex with the grocery guy. And I'm like, what is this meant to show about Nell? Like, why is this like, so we're supposed to look negatively upon her because she's having sex?
Well, the thing is, yeah, that's what was weird, is it, she didn't want to pay, but it didn't seem like she couldn't pay. Like, she didn't seem like a desperate woman who had to like pay for groceries with sex. It seemed like she just wanted to have sex and didn't want to pay for her groceries.
Yeah, which is like, it's, you know, you should pay for your groceries. But like, I felt like in that scene, like the movie was telling us that Nell is like untrustworthy or like someone you like.
Well, and they tried to make it seem like she was taking advantage of the guy. And it's like, is she though? Because he was into it.
Yeah, that dude seemed like he was pretty horny.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so like Nell, like the represent like of Nell. And I was just like, okay, so like we don't like her because she's. Like she's untrustworthy because she's a woman who has sex, like that's what we're doing, like okay, I guess that's all, you know, she can't do that, she can't, like whatever. I mean, there's many other issues with that character that make her like explicitly of the villain, but like that intro, like that was one of the first scenes where it was like, oh, Nell is not as what she's like presenting herself to be, and I'm like, okay, what's wrong with a grown woman having consensual sex with a man?
That's the thing. Then, like, she, like, grabs the, like, piece of her dress. Like, she's like, oh, no, we've been caught. But it's like, been caught doing what? Like,
you're
you know?
Adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like, you could be like, oh, my God, a child walked in on me having sex with somebody. Like, that, yeah. Oh, my God. Right? Like,
yeah.
Totally. But it was like, oh, no, I've been found out. And I was like, found out doing what? Like,
yeah. It's not like she's been, like, paying. They also didn't pitch it like she's been doing this every time. Like, sure, maybe it's a bit more dramatic if you find out that someone's paying for their groceries by having sex with the grocery boy, but that's not what it was either, you know what I mean? It was like, oh no, someone found out you had sex one time.
Yeah, and like, I was like, oh, is this like, Jalila's like gonna be like weirded out and like not mm-hmm. understand. I was like, that's a weird thing to do in a movie. Anyway, and then it doesn't matter. Like, it's completely dropped. It's just to show us that Nell is untrustworthy. And I was like, mm-hmm. that's really kind of fucked up. Like, you kind of did that initially because of the actor's performance, that Nell is like, you know, seems to be trying to take advantage of the situation. Mm-hmm. Or you could just reveal that when she fucking mummifies Jeff Bridges.
Yep.
That is more effective. This scene doesn't need to exist in this movie. I have lots of questions about who this director is as a person.
Yep. Because well, an old ass man.
An old ass man, you know, it's like, yeah, I guess this adult woman, like, we'll shame her for wanting to be sexually active. But then, you know, we're going to maybe hint at that with a 7 to 10 year old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the fuck, my guy? Like, this is super fucked up. I know this is based on a book and I have not read the book. I don't know.
Not going to read the book.
I think it's safe to assume neither of us will read this book.
No.
But if this is just a straight adaptation, you're allowed to change stuff. You don't, mm-hmm. or you don't have to adapt.
You don't have to make it. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Or like, it's more frustrating to me is that there were so many people that could have stepped in and been like, no,
mm-hmm.
like we're not going to make this. We're not going to spend $40 million on making this movie.
Yeah.
And doing yeah, this.
That's the thing. It's I don't know how it got made, honestly.
Yeah,
largely because it's uncomfortable, but also it's just not very good.
Yeah, keep in mind like all these extremely valid criticisms that we both have about how this movie's mm-hmm. fucked up. It's also just not good.
No, it's just not a good movie.
It's kind of it's really boring.
Mm-hmm. It's boring and it's confusing and it's like muddled. It's inconsistent.
It is inconsistent. It doesn't. They can pick up storylines, drop storylines.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the cinematography is well done. There's a million Dutch angles. So,
I mean, it's well done if you like that kind of thing. For me, it felt a bit on the nose, but.
Yeah, I was just like, I thought initially that it was kind of trying to be like a satire of children's fantasy films.
Mm-hmm.
Or being like, or trying to do the thing, which I think Brothers Grimm also tried to do, where it was like, hey, the original stories that these stories are based on are like fucked up.
Yeah, and so the guy was like, let's show you it all, but that also wasn't a very good movie.
No, it wasn't. It's better than this film. Mm-hmm. So I don't really, there's nothing else I feel like I need to say about this. I don't really want to talk about the movie anymore.
Nope.
If there's anything you want to say, you can.
Nope, let's talk about next time.
Yeah, so next time we're going to be watching a movie that is also, it's going to be messed up, but not in this way. I know the rest of the movies on this list. None of them are going to be like this movie.
Yeah, no.
Also, Thailand is obviously worse than Monsters and Sunshine. Like,
Yeah, put it at the bottom of the list. It'll stay there.
Be there for a while. Next time we're going to be watching Mulholland Drive, which is a actual David Lynch film.
Yes.
Not a movie directed by David Lynch.
Naomi Watts and Laura Herring, I want to say.
Yeah, it came out in 2001. If you are in Canada, it's on Stars and the Super Channel. You can get Stars either through Crave or through Prime Video, and it's mm-hmm. available for rent on all of our services. Let me look in the States for everybody. It is available on Mubi and available for rent on everything as well. I'm sure there will also be other ways because this movie is very popular. It's quite long.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours or 2 hours and 27 minutes.
If you've never seen a Lynch film, strap in. get ready. It's going to be weird. But after that, Carolyn's favorite part of the episode, our episode.
Yes, I'm excited.
She doesn't get to see it. She just gets to sit there with anticipation. Yeah, sense it. She's summoning Climax. That's what she's doing.
No, I can't. I can't watch another weird one after this one.
Well, we might be. Oh, boy. Are you going to be an excited little human?
What are we watching?
Jennifer's Body.
Oh, hell yeah.
We now have hit our streak of Carolyn's movies on the wheel. Two of mine and now three of yours.
I don't claim Thailand. I don't claim this movie.
No, we can blame someone else for that. Anastasia.
Yeah, 100%.
So Jennifer's Body is a extremely Carolyn film.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since I want to say like I was 17 or something. So I'm excited.
You're excited? Where can people find this excitement?
You can find it on all the platforms at CarolynDunk93. And where can they find you?
You can find me everywhere at James Willix on the internet, except on Twitter, where the O is a zero. And if you're feeling extra spicy, you can send us an email at letswatchpod@gmail.com. I should also say that I will do our plugs here, because Carolyn's also going to plug her web series again.
Mm-hmm.
She'll do it every time until they're filming it. I will get my smaller one out of the way first and then let you have your time. I stream on, if you're interested in coming in and me telling you your favorite movie is not good, I stream on Twitch every Monday to Friday at James Willix. And people get mad at me because I tell them their favorite animated movie is fine and the Marvel movies are mid. Carolyn?
What is the animated movie that's just fine?
I should clarify is that I think Inside Out is fine and I didn't vibe with that film.
Mm-hmm.
And that Toy Story 4 is reprehensibly awful.
I haven't seen it yet, so I can't comment on that one.
Don't. I said that last week and people got mad at me and I was like, it's okay, guys, the movie's bad. Your opinions can be wrong. I will double and triple down. Don't worry.
We've all made mistakes, you know?
No, they've all made mistakes. Carolyn, pitch your web series, please.
Sure. So I'm directing a web series that we're filming in just over a month, and we have a few days left in our Indiegogo campaign crowd funding. So it's called Manor House, and it is basically about, it's a pseudo reality show. So it's a scripted TV show, but based on all of your favorite tropes of reality shows. And in this particular one, it's about a production assistant who suddenly is forced to host a Big Brother style reality TV show.
Hell yeah. Hell
so
yeah.
Check
is
that
this,
out.
Is this thing made for me? Absolutely.
100%.
When is the Indiegogo campaign wrap up?
That's a great question. It says 6 days on here, so I don't know what that is math wise. On the 16th. There we go.
Yeah. So this episode's going to come out on the 12th. So you'll have 4 days if you would like to support Carolyn's web series. It's getting made, but obviously there's stretch goals to make it better.
Absolutely. And our stretch goals help us do things like feed people properly. So we would love to make the stretch goals.
Or, you know, people will be on a diet and be extra thin.
And they'll look good on camera. The camera adds 15 pounds.
It is reality TV, so that would be consistent with reality TV. Carolyn, I don't know how you're going to get a funny joke out of this movie to end it.
It would all just be inappropriate, to be honest.
Yes, it would be very inappropriate.
I've not been so upset about a movie in a while.
Yeah, the first time in a long time that we have watched a movie that we have both been like, this is ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And like kind of upsetting, and why do you think it could have made? The last movie I watched like this was The Hunt. We didn't talk about that one, but that movie is also bad.
The Hunt?
Yeah.
I started that and then someone's ear got cut off in the first 5 minutes and I was like, this is not the vibe I want today.
Yeah, the Blumhouse one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's, you know, movies are bad sometimes, but that's okay.